memories. Yeah. Sorry, do we have Namgyu Dunsa? Okay, so we'll do the same recitations as we did yesterday. Udama chomnende tejin shabadra chomba yandava zobe sangi riba dan shasu denba dewa shabha jiten kemba kebu duwa kalu girwa Lana mepa lada minam giyatomba sangye chondende palgyawa shakya tubala chaselu chodo kyabsu chi uatomba chondende tejin shabadra chomba yandaba sobe sangye riba dan shabsu denba tewa shabba Jiten Gyamba Kibu Duwa Kalu Girwa Lana Mepa Ladam Minam Gitomba Sangye Chondende Pangyawa Shakya Tuba La Chaselu Chodo Kyapsu Chi Uwa Tomba Chondende Tejin Shabadra Chomba Mandaba zobe sangye riba dan shasu denba dewa sheba chiten kemba kebu duwe kalu girwa lana mepa ladan minan ki tomba sangye chomdende palgyawa shakya tuba la chaselu chodo kyasu chi O ganse kani etso o chutamse sachen dila gomba dumburna ani chiten dina choche sung tese kyaba chula chaselo nanda kunga chotu zozangwa yeshi gyatso segi lumbura Trawa jiten suna la mewa Gongwa chogir chala chaselo Senjo denba drime dawesha Sedo trawa chala chaselo Tura chitra sipa sumachi Nyame chenjen chala chaselo Kumbho tuje che denpa Tanche kienpe tumpa po Sena yenten kya tsu jing Tejin she la cha se lu Tabe du cha dra hua gyur Kewe ngen son le trung ching Jitu dan dan cho gyur pa Shigyur che la cha se lu Trane drawe lang yantun Laba dala rabtune Shingi damba yunten den Gedun layan chaselo Digba chiyan mi chashing Kewa punsun sobarja Rangi seni yonsudul Deni sangye tembayin Kamaravimarmedang Kima Silva Chuburdang Mila Lota Trinta Burdiche Chanande Tarta Sanandi Tamche Zigbayi Kopantona Kyungi Dradulte Kada Nadan Chiwe Ladrupe Sipe Tsola Drowa Trulwan Shu. Onto the Heart Sutra, which is either the next page or one over. Thus have I heard. Once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajgir at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great assembly of monks and a great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was totally absorbed in the concentration that examines all phenomena called profound illumination. And at the same time, the Noble Lord Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, was looking at the profound practice of the wisdom gone beyond, analyzing the five aggregates by nature empty. Then, through the inspiration of the Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra spoke to the Noble Lord Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, "How should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound practice of the wisdom gone beyond?" Thus he spoke, and the Noble Lord Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, replied to the Venerable Shariputra. "O Shariputra, whatever son or daughter of a good family wishes to practice the profound practice of the wisdom gone beyond should look at it like this, analyzing the five aggregates by nature empty. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is no other than emptiness, emptiness is no other than form. In the same way, feeling, recognition, karmic formation, and consciousness are all empty. Therefore, Shariputra, all phenomena are empty without characteristics. They are unborn and unceasing. They are neither impure nor free from impurity. They neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no karmic formation, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. Appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no phenomena. There are no spheres of the eye up to no spheres of the mind. There are none of these up to the sphere of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance, nor is there destruction of ignorance. There are none of these all the way up to there is no old age and death, nor is there destruction of old age and death. There is no suffering, no cause of suffering, no cessation of suffering, and no path. There is no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, because there is no attainment, all bodhisattvas hold to the wisdom gone beyond. Because there is no obscurity of mind, they have no fear. Passing utterly beyond falsity, they reach beyond the bounds of sorrow. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times by relying on the wisdom gone beyond, fully and clearly awaken to the unsurpassed, most perfect and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the wisdom gone beyond, mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the equaled and unequaled mantra, the mantra that comes with suffering should be known as truth, for there is no deception. The mantra of the wisdom gone beyond is proclaimed. Payata gati gati parigati parasangati bodhisoha. Shariputra, this is how the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should learn the profound wisdom gone beyond. Then the Blessed One arose from his concentration and praised the Noble Lord Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, very good, O son of good family. It is exactly as you have said, and the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, the Venerable Shariputra, the Noble Lord Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole gathering in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, their hearts full of joy, praised the words of the Blessed One. Kala jupe ne chua damba ne ngun she su tru ngawe tu tok chin Truba po lama yel bu shin zi Ne su an ka dru tso la chak se lu Aga se ma ran za she dar su Za she dar za ma ran ya pe Ta di ka da pa da ka da Buddhistu, Bhagavatam Sangikai, Dambitam Kiche, Dhruva Kiche, Mahabha Kiche, Shiva Kiche, Dragi Pachimi, Dambitam Tamche, Shindan Kuru Yesu, Giri Thondra Kiche, Shiva Dhan, Mithun Nubi, Kendan Devudantra. Dobro, sam se zakipa. Čas je teki, anten, detene, šum. So short dana and then the refuge prayer three times in English. Sa je pki jo chen me to trong rira ling chi ni de gen ba di sangye jing du mik de ul wa gi prako nan da jin la cho pa shu idam guru ratna mandala kan niriyatayam hi. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrating. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrators. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrators. So we're going to again look at the Four Immeasurables as we did yesterday, and then after that, in terms of meditating on these, what I'm going to do is explain a meditation which includes the visualization in front of the Buddha and a visualization of light and nectar. So we'll talk about a meditation, way of meditating on this at the end. So just to recap, as I said yesterday, that the purpose of meditating on the Four Immeasurables is it increases one's generation of the awakening mind of bodhicitta. So it strengthens and empowers one's bodhicitta. And in terms of the stages, again beginning as we did yesterday with the mind of equanimity, that this thought that may beings abide in great equanimity, free of aversion and attachment, holding some close and others distant. Because when sentient beings act out of aversion and attachment, holding some close and others distant, then through that they accumulate various negative karmas, and this acts as a cause for wandering within cyclic existence.
Yeah.
So again, as we looked at yesterday, that in the way we view sentient beings is under the is from our mind's perspective, holding some close and others distant. In terms of the sentient beings, whoever they may be, there is no one who is always an enemy, always the person we dislike, and kind of an enduring, always the friend. And if one thinks about it in a reasoned way, one can see, kind of understand this. So again, as yesterday we talked about this aspect of no enduring enemy or unchanged enduring enemy, enduring friend, and that one there are the different relationships of as a friend, enemy, or stranger, that there is no truly existent enemy or truly existent friend. All of these are changeable states, and so you can look at it from the perspective of ultimate truth, or you can look at it from the perspective of a conventional truth, that ultimately whoever the being is, there is no enduringly existent friend or truly existent friend, truly existent enemy. So we can see that there is no truly existent friend or enemy, because they are, if they were truly existent friend or enemy, that would be an unchanging state. But we can see that these are states of temporary states, that they are subject to change, and as such are impermanent, or that are non-static states. So that's one aspect. Then further than that, looking from the from the conventional truth side, from the side of sentient beings, they themselves are equal or exactly the same as ourselves in wishing for happiness, not wishing for unhappiness and suffering. And then looking at the situation from our side, in general, in our mind, we exaggerate the we exaggerate the qualities of the being in the sense of being the enemy or friend, because if one looks at the actual situation, they are not in an enduring, unchanging friend or enemy. Mm-hmm.
Peshayena, Nepe, Mid, Neva, Junarva, Neva Jun, and Neva Juditama, and Tongan in Nava, Chiparete, Chiparete, and a Mid, Palm, Kimuchi, Jun, Anime, Chiparete, Amaranda, Munet, Sparrow, and Tusina, Chiparese.
So we have these two reasons or ways of looking at from the perspective of all sentient beings, that they themselves are exactly the same in wishing happiness and not wishing for unhappiness and problems. And from the other side of our mind, that we exaggerate the quality of the friend or the enemy, the person we dislike. And there is an analogy or an example one can used to think about it, that if one considered 10 people who were sick, all of those 10 people are equally oppressed by an illness, by some kind of suffering. They are the same in that. Or you could consider 10 people who are in poverty, that all of them equally lack happiness in that situation. But in those 10 people are have an underlying similarity in the circumstance, but we exaggerate the quality as to whether we consider them close or whether we dislike them. We put an imposition on top of that exaggerates them as an enduring friend or an enduring enemy. So this is the kind of the actual situation of beings. And then if we look further than that, we can say, well, we see some of those as kind of actively harming us. And however, if one thinks about that further, that one can see that it is not the fault of the sentient being, it's actually the fault of the afflictive emotion. So it is not the person's fault, but the fault of the afflictive emotion in their mind. So likewise, even the Buddha sees that faulty actions come through afflictive emotion, not the fault of the person. So we have these ways of reflection to overcome our aversion and attachment. And so then if we think of the sequence one follows, which we touched on yesterday, with equanimity one begins with the stranger, generating this kind of equal attitude, then thinking on one's friends, and then thinking to the people we dislike, that we consider the enemy, and then expanding out to all sentient beings.
Chapa
So then moving on to love and compassion. Yesterday we talked about the object of that, so that, again, to recap, when one is meditating on immeasurable love, one is thinking of sentient beings who lack happiness and wishing them to have happiness and the causes of happiness. And so in the sequence of meditation, one thinks first of generating this mind of love towards those who are close and dear, and then... generating this thought, may they have happiness and abide in happiness, beginning with those who are dear. And then in thinking of those who are close, like the one's mother or someone that one feels very dear and near to, then one can see that in general they don't have an uncontaminated happiness, which we talked about yesterday, but they have a contaminated happiness, a happiness that is changeable, and in that sense is a changeable suffering. And so observing that, one wishes them to abide and have happiness and the causes of happiness. So we covered that reflection on their wish for the happiness and the cause of happiness extensively yesterday. So then going on, one then thinks on the neutral person, the stranger, and wishes them to have happiness and the cause of happiness. And again, recognizing that at this point they lack an uncontaminated happiness, but they do have this experience of a contaminated happiness that is a changeable suffering, that it's by nature changeable, and again that they do not have an enduring happiness, because this arises from the power of having meditated on the path, but still one wishes for them to abide in happiness and the causes of happiness. So as you're going through the meditation on immeasurable love, your focus of the kind of group that you're focusing on changes, but the reflection itself is similar. So then you would turn your focus to the enemy, the person you dislike in this life, and you would see that they lack an uncontaminated happiness, and they do have some contaminated happinesses, but this is changeable and of a changeable the nature of a changeable suffering. And in meditating on this immeasurable love, if you've preceded it with meditating on immeasurable equanimity, then it's much easier to meditate on love for the person you dislike. If you've gone straight into immeasurable love without that other step, it's actually really difficult to generate a feeling of love towards someone one dislikes. So then one moves the focus from the person you dislike out to all sentient beings. Again, thinking that all sentient beings lack an uncontaminated happiness, and the happiness that they enjoy is subject to change and this changeable suffering in nature. And so thinking in that way, then one cultivates this wish, may they have happiness and the cause of happiness. And so, as I said before, that in meditating on this you are increasing your bodhicitta, you are increasing your altruistic mind. And if you look at it in the stages of the path, this is the great being's practice. But if you put that previously, if you were meditating, for example, on the intermediate being's practices, you would have been thinking about the general situation of cyclic existence, of the how beings wander in cyclic existence, their different sufferings, that the contaminated happinesses they have are unreliable and changeable. And so through having reflected on it in that aspect of the path, then when you meditate on it here, it arises, that understanding arises much more strongly in the mind. At that point of the explanations of the different sufferings of cyclic existence, there are many explanations and reflections, for example, looking at the three aspects of suffering of suffering, changeable suffering, and all pervasive conditional suffering. Or you can look at it from the six aspects, that there is no certainty between the friend and enemy, there is no certainty in whatever pleasures one attains within cyclic existence, there is no certainty in the body that one attains, or in the companions one has. And again, so that if one has spent some time on reflecting on these things, then when one meditates on love towards, whether it's towards all sentient beings or any of the specific focuses within that, it is much easier to generate very strongly the sense that they lack an uncontaminated happiness, and that the contaminated happinesses they have are unreliable and changeable. Whereas if you don't have that kind of basis of reflection, it's more difficult to generate this kind of genuine feeling of love for sentient beings. This reflection of the immeasurable love, which focuses on all sentient beings wishing to for them to abide in happiness and the causes of happiness. And this, there are tremendous benefits that are said to arise from this meditation, and that the Bodhisattva's Way of Life talks about this, that when you consider immeasurable love, your focus is all sentient beings. But in the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, it says even when you're thinking about one person and wishing that person who has a headache to be free of that headache, that thought for just one person creates immense merit, or immeasurable merit. So if that is the case, then when we think about countless sentient beings, as many sentient beings as there are in the universe, if we think about how many people just exist in this world, and then the numbers of insects and other beings in this world, and all of these, our focus is wishing all of these beings to abide in happiness and the cause of happiness. And not only that, but we're not just thinking about their temporary happiness, although we may include their temporary happiness, we're actually wishing for them to have an enduring happiness. And so you can see by the kind of the vastness of that focus how much of a great benefit arises, or power arises from that reflection. So just to emphasize, because I said this yesterday also, that we are meditating on love towards all sentient beings. So we're not just thinking of humans, but we're thinking of every being within the six classes of beings, all kind of insects and tiny bugs and so forth. And this is that encompassing all beings is what is meant by immeasurable, because it is immeasurable because one is thinking of immeasurable beings, and it is immeasurable because the virtue that arises from that is immeasurable. Moving to immeasurable compassion, so that, as we said yesterday, seeing beings who are oppressed by suffering and wishing that they be free of suffering. So when one meditates on the way of meditating on this, that one can begin by seeing, thinking of those that we directly see who are oppressed by suffering. So we focus on those that we directly see as suffering. After that, one can consider kind of a group of beings, and we talked about them yesterday, people who at this point in time may be experiencing kind of an ongoing happiness and well-being, but at that, in this time of happiness, they are engaging in many non-virtuous actions and harming sentient beings, harming other beings in many different ways. And so while they are in a situation of temporary happiness, they are, by causing others suffering, they are continually creating many non-virtues that eventually will cause their own experience of suffering. And so one meditates on compassion, cultivates compassion for them, wishing that they be free of the cause of suffering. So that in terms of those beings, you can see that they are obscured as to action and result, that they have the ignorance as regards, that's obscured as regards action and result, because in this point they have a temporary happiness because of causes of happiness created in previous lives that then ripens in either wealth or in general the excellences of cyclic existence, excellences in this life. But then they accumulate karma, which is actually going to cause them suffering in the future. And this comes because they have this obscuration as regards action and result.
Gross.
And so then, kind of in the sequence then from those beings, then one looks at cultivating compassion towards those who are dear to us, cultivating compassion towards the stranger, and cultivation compassion towards the enemy, the person one dislikes, and then out to all sentient beings. So the reflection, the meditation in itself is similar. You are just changing the focus. And then, and again, seeing that for all these beings, they have a variety of sufferings, and one wishes for them to attain happiness. Hang on. Nō kōnta kishla dunga ngā tō yua di kōla kiamde yore de while these beings are wandering within cyclic existence, they will continually experience the variety of sufferings, of the suffering of suffering, changeable suffering, all pervasive, all the different aspects of the faults of cyclic existence. We talked about it and talked about before. And until, while they have not actually cultivated the path, they will keep wandering in cyclic existence and keep undergoing these experiences. So you change the focus, and your final focus is then expanding it to all sentient beings. So then we come finally to immeasurable joy, and as we talked about yesterday, this is thinking that may beings attain, definitely attain an uncontaminated happiness, which comes through the power of having meditated on the path. Now the issue of whether an uncontaminated happiness can be attained or not would bring one to the explanations of the view. Because if we look at contaminated happiness under the power of obscured ignorance, we accumulate karma and we wander in cyclic existence. At the very root of that wandering is this obscured ignorance, that ignorance that grasps at true existence. When you develop the wisdom that sees the object of that grasping does not exist, then you have an understanding of emptiness, which by meditating on again and again, one will come to an uncontaminated happiness, an attainment of liberation. But basically, when you go into that side, then you have to go into the view and the wisdom teachings, which isn't so much our topic.
Just a question.
Yeah.
You said that we are talking about ultimate happiness and temporary happiness.
Yeah.
Today, we are talking about uncontaminated.
Yeah.
The contaminated happiness.
Are they having some kind of equipment there? Tendu dewa dang or tatu gi dewa dang ngekab dewa chikbarwes. Okay, so yes, they are similar in that your ultimate happiness is an uncontaminated happiness, and a temporary happiness is like when we look at the happiness experienced as a human or in a god realm. So would people like Geshe-la to talk about uncontaminated happiness and how it's attained, or do people have other questions that they'd like to Geshe-la to explain other aspects? No particular need to go into talking about the view and uncontaminated happiness. Okay, so then we'll go on to the visualization that we were talking about before. So again, generally, if someone is familiar with Buddhist practices, then they may, when they do their prayers, be reciting the words of refuge and of awakening, the awakening mind, and then if associated with that, one meditates on the four immeasurables and flowing the visualization of light and nectar. That's a very good way to practice. Okay, so I'm explaining both. So the first part of the visualization. So oneself is in the center, and on one's right one has one's father of this life, and on one's left one's mother of this life. Behind the father of this life are all the family associated, your relatives on your father's side, and on behind mother are the relatives of one's mother's side. In front oneself, one visualizes, sees all the people that one dislikes, that kind of the enemy of this life, and behind one are all strangers, and then in general gathered around are all sentient beings. And why all sentient beings are the six classes of beings, you think of them all in the form of humans, appearing as humans around oneself.
Thank you.
So then in front of oneself, one visualizes the deity or the Buddha. And so in explaining this, this is one way of visualization, but there are many different explanations. You will meet sometimes of visualizing Maitreya or Atisha, Jewel. Jizun Jama. Maitreya or Manjushri or the merit field, but in this case and sometimes visualizing on the crown, sometimes in front, because I think it's easier where what I'm explaining is a front visualization of Shakyamuni Buddha, who is one face and two arms seated in the Vajra position with right hand resting on his right knee in the earth touching mudra and the left hand in meditative equipoise holding a begging bowl, and that the size, again, that may vary. Some like people may visualize very small, like the size of a thumb or a size of a from your fingertip to your elbow. So whatever size is comfortable for the mind. And then that the Buddha has a body of light that isn't solid and heavy. So this is what they tradition, the tradition of all jewels, the jewel of kind of all nature, because one is thinking of whatever lamas or teachers that oneself has faith and connection of, one considers them to be in kind of included or within the nature of Shakyamuni Buddha in front. So so whatever aspiration one has towards, you know, your lamas and who are included in that form, one is just visualizing the single form of Shakyamuni. Okay, so then one's own physical position basically take up what is comfortable for yourself. But in terms of the hands, as Geshe-la showed, or is showing, with the two thumbs resting just below the navel and the two thumbs touching right fingers on the... And so one of the reasons for it, taking this position of the hands, is as it said that in the future, in terms of generating the realizations of Tantra, particularly relating to Tummo, this hand position is useful. But I don't want to get into that here, but that's one of the reasons for that position.
Mm.
Alright, so we've explained the visualization, and we've explained, before that we talked about your reflection, your reflective process. And then before you start, you want to see whether your mind is wandering or not. And if it's wandering, then you use the focus on the breath, the entry of the breath in and out of the nostrils to settle the mind and focus it inwards. Doing this at home, then you would be reciting the words of refuge and the awakening mind and thinking on that, and then having recited and reflected on it, then one would go on to the four immeasurables. And so we're focusing on the four immeasurables because that's what we're working with today. And so, as I explained yesterday, when you're following the sequence of meditation, you begin with immeasurable equanimity and basically reflecting in the things we've talked about, that seeing that because beings have attachment and aversion to others, they accumulate negative karma and therefore turn within cyclic existence. So therefore seeing this is kind of not beneficial, this is unhelpful to beings when they not beneficial for beings when they are follow these kind of minds and emotions. So wishing that all sentient beings would have an equal attitude towards the friend, the enemy, and the stranger. And so in meditating on it, we reflect on the different points that Geshe-la's explained. Sangine Dutius Bab Tangte, der sang in Tugneres, der Dekimon.
Okay.
So, in reciting the words of the Four Immeasurables, you can either recite the one sentence male sentient beings abide in great equanimity, free of an aversion and attachment, holding some close, some distant, or you can recite the full branch of that that part, and then saying, may they come to abide in this, may I myself bring this about, please, Buddhas and Lamas, bless me to be able to do this. And then having recited the words, we've already visualized Shakyamuni Buddha in front and all sentient beings around, and so you think of flowing from Shakyamuni Buddha's body the five colored lights and nectars that flow to oneself and all sentient beings. Slow myself down. So we've got the Shakyamuni in front, all sentient beings around. You've recited the words. Then you visualize five colored lights and nectars flowing from Shakyamuni Buddha's body to oneself and all sentient beings. One self, then thinking in general that all negativities and obscurations are purified. And then in particular, all the negativities, obscurations, and imprints that would prevent one from realizing oneself and all beings from realizing immeasurable equanimity. Having visualized this flow of nectar and five colored nectar and light, one thinks of oneself and all sentient beings' bodies become very clear and in the nature of light. That all one's merit and lifespan and realizations of the spoken and realizational teachings are increased, and in particular that for oneself and all sentient beings one generates the realization of immeasurable equanimity. Do you need me to say any parts of it again? Do you want me to go over it again? Okay. So you've recited the words either in the single sentence or in the four parts. You visualize Shakyamuni in front of yourself and all sentient beings around yourself. You visualize five colored lights and nectars flowing from Shakyamuni Buddha to oneself and to all sentient beings. In general, you think of that as purifying obscurations and negativities, but in particular you think of it as purifying the obscurations and negativities and imprints that prevent oneself and all beings from realizing immeasurable equanimity. Through the flow of light and nectar, oneself and all sentient beings' bodies become clear and in the nature of light. Your lifespan, merit, and qualities of realization of the spoken and realizational teachings are all increased, and in particular you all give rise to the realization of immeasurable equanimity. All right. Yep. Yep.
The woman that sent you me, but she was a yellow pagi. Then pagi next to the
Okay. So, on the right you have the father of this life, and on the left you have the mother of this life. Behind the father of this life, you have all your paternal relatives. Behind the mother is all your maternal relatives.
Wonder, so where do the siblings go? The brother and sisters?
Pingyab.
Yeah, so brother goes on the father's on the side of the male side, basically, and sisters would go with the mother on the left.
So is it in terms of the male and the female, or is it in terms of the father's side, mother's side?
Well, the relatives are in terms of father's side and mother's side. Your direct siblings, if it was a brother, it would go on the side with your father. If it's a sister, it goes on the side with the mother. No, they're on the side and going backwards. And then in front are the people you dislike, that you don't get on with in this life, or that are the enemy in this life.
It's very so challenging to see people.
Yes. And then strangers in general are all behind. And then in general, you think of all sentient beings being gathered round, that this is the six classes of beings, but all appearing as humans. Hang on, are you, we good? And then you've got Shakyamuni Buddha. Yep, okay. Tendril.
Tendrils are auspicious.
Oh, loss. Loss. So then we have immeasurable love, then we move on to immeasurable love, and so you've got this visualization, you recite the words either of the one sentence of may all sentient beings have happiness in the cause of happiness, or the four part of may they have happiness in the cause of happiness, may this come to be so, may I myself bring it about, please allow my Zen Buddhas bless me to be able to do so. And so then you've reflected on the stages of the meditation, as we explained before, and then you come to the visualization of the light and nectar, and basically it is similar, your sequence is similar, but in the five colored light and nectar flowing from the Buddha, filling the bodies and minds of oneself and all sentient beings, generally purifying negativities and obscurations, and then in particular purifying all obstacles, harms, illnesses, negatives, and imprints that would prevent one from realizing immeasurable love. And then that oneself and all sentient beings become, bodies become of light. Yes. and that your merit, lifespan and qualities of the spoken and realized Dharma all increase, and in particular that you give rise, you and all beings give rise to the special realization of immeasurable love. And there are two ways of thinking of this realization. One is, as I've explained, of that one has generated this special realization, and the other is that kind of that one thinks of there is tender, that this is an auspicious, that this meditation is an auspicious sign for one's generation of this immeasurable love. Yes. So I can think of both of these. So then you would come to an immeasurable compassion. And so in essence, again, this is the same, that you have the words, either that may all sentient beings be free of suffering, the cause of suffering, may all sentient beings be free of the suffering, be free of suffering and the cause of suffering. May they definitely come to be free of this. May I myself bring it about. Please, Guru Buddhas, bless me to be able to do this. And then you have the visualization of the five coloured lights and nectars. And then you have the reflection on the meditation, as we've explained before. And so you've said the words and thought about the meaning. And then you have the flow of the five coloured lights and nectars that come to oneself and all sentient beings in general, purifying all negativities and obscurations accumulated since beginningless time, and then in particular all the obstacles, harms, negativities, obscurations and imprints that would prevent one from generating, oneself and all beings from generating immeasurable compassion. And then that light and nectar makes oneself and all sentient beings' bodies clear in the nature of light. It causes an increase in one's merit, lifespan and qualities of the spoken and realizational doctrines, and in particular giving rise to the realization of immeasurable compassion. And so then you would come to immeasurable joy, and thinking of this joy of wishing that beings have an uncontaminated happiness which arises from the meditation on the path. And so you have the words, either the single sentence or the four branch of may all sentient beings abide in the happiness which is free of suffering. May they definitely come to abide so. May I myself bring it about. Please, Guru Buddhas, bless me to be able to do this. And so you have the words, but the kind of root thing is not just the words, it's one's reflection on that. And then, having reflected on it, you have the visualization of the five colored lights and nectars to oneself and all beings, generally purifying all negativities and obscurations, and in particular purifying everything that would be an obstacle, harm, negativity, obscuration or imprint that would prevent one from generating the realization of immeasurable joy. Then that oneself and all beings' body become clear in the nature of light. One has the increase of lifespan merit, and so increase and expansion of lifespan merit and so forth. The increase of one's qualities of the spoken and realizational teachings, and in particular generating the realization of immeasurable joy. Okay, so this is the visualization for the flowing of light and nectar.
Yes.
So we're going to finish with a meditation. So just like what we call a glance meditation, where you're bringing the points relating to the four immeasurables, or each of the four immeasurables, to mind, and then you visualize with the light and nectar as we've explained. So make sure you're comfortable, that you, while one wants the body reasonably straight, it's important that you feel comfortable in your seat. So get yourself comfortable. Anyone needs to move towards the fire. It's okay. Yes, yeah, I did think that, you know, if you want to move that way, feel free. It's not. I'm all right, I'm good. Oh, should I switch the recorder off?